Growing up on a farm in Atchison County in ancient times, we had a few weeds on our farm. And my dad was not as patient as God was. My dad wanted those sunflowers, those cockaburrs, those pigweeds out of that cornfield no later than midsummer. Actually, that was pretty good crop management because the corn would be more productive. More bushels per acre if it didn't have to compete with the weeds for the nutrients and water. And then on the other hand, if the weeds were not removed, we know what would happen. They would go to seed and produce an increase in weeds for the following growing season. Now, the main problem with my dad's management practice about 65 years ago was that the chemicals to control weeds were very few, and they were kind of expensive, at least my dad thought so. And he had cheap, very cheap labor in my brother and me. So he would arm us with something he called a corn knife, and we would call them machetes. We would go and walk through the fields of the rows of corn that were taller than we were on hot summer days, slaying these sunflowers, the cockaburrs, and the pigweeds. My dad tried to convince us that this project was really a labor of love for the corn. With love for corn, it would be happier, it would be more joyful because it would be allowed to grow and to be more productive. In Matthew's gospel today, we heard another agriculture-related parable as we did last week, plus two more that were told by Jesus. Why? To help his listeners to learn about the kingdom of God. Now, it's only in Matthew's gospel, which is addressed predominantly to Jewish audiences, Christian Jewish audiences, does Jesus speak, about the kingdom of heaven. In all the other gospels, instead of kingdom of heaven, it is referred to as the kingdom of God. And when modern linguists and theologians look at those early texts, they say that perhaps the best translation of those words is reign of God or God's domain. And others would say the translation is simply God's love, which is the core message of that we find throughout the Bible, but also in the three readings that we heard here this weekend. In the wisdom passage, we heard the author remind the readers that God loves all the people that he has made. God does not despise, nor does God reject anyone or any nation. God is open to the possibility that any person, any group, might repent and do God's will. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, which means change of mind or attitude, which essentially at that time meant to turn away from sin and to turn to God. We hear a similar kind of phrase as we go to Ash Wednesday services and we have the distribution of ashes on our foreheads, to turn away from sin and to be faithful to the gospel. So the lesson for the author's contemporaries at that particular time was to be patient in their time of oppression and suffering at the hands of their enemies, because they were at that particular time not in their homeland, but they were in another part of the world, and they were being, oppressed. But he's trying to tell them that God is tolerant and merciful, and that merciful patience will be with all, and God will be lenient to all people to give them an opportunity to repent. So in the way God treated their enemies, they were taught to temper justice with mercy and for themselves to hope for that mercy. The short reading from Paul to the Romans continues God's love story and patience with us. It was during the Last Supper discourse that Jesus assures his fellow followers that God will provide another paraclete, one who would be with them forever. He promised this, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, shall abide with you and in you. Paul tells us that the Spirit will come to our aid. For what was the first line? For we know not how to pray as we ought. Well, that caused me to think a little bit. Sometimes I think I know how to pray very well, but my mind wanders a bit. That probably never happens to you, but sometimes we struggle with our prayer. We lack focus, maybe in routine and rote prayer. Maybe there's some raging resentment or tearful sadness in our life, or maybe we're just at a loss for words to pray. Paul is telling us during those times the Spirit transcends that weakness by interceding with inexpressible groanings. I think we heard that term groanings last week as well. Paul applies the term groanings to Spirit-aided prayer of the believer, one who yearns for an intimate communication, an intimate communion with God. So the reading reminds us that the Spirit of God goes on to empower us in our weaknesses, and so therefore we should be patient with ourselves and trust in the Spirit. In the gospel reading, Jesus tells his listeners then and us today that we have good, the wheat, and we have bad, the weeds in our world today. In the Middle East, there is a weed which is called darnel. And at first, you can't tell it from the wheat, not until both are fully grown. And that's what Jesus was speaking about today in the gospel. The weeds' roots tangle around the roots of the wheat, just as the parable described. If you pull up the weeds, you would also pull up the wheat. So by pulling up the weeds, the bad gets destroyed, but so does the wheat, the good. So the workers, being anxious to pull up the weeds, are taught by Jesus that they need to be more patient, that they need to let that harvest grow. Why? Because the Lord of the harvest is more concerned with the growth of the good, the wheat, instead. So when we hear this parable from Matthew's gospel, we think of good people, the wheat, and bad people, the weeds, living together in an imperfect world until the coming of the end of time. But you know, this parable can be seen in another light as well. Every person possesses something of both the wheat, which is good, and the weeds, which may not be quite so good. In fact, may be bad. Every one of us possesses the ability to do good things for others out of compassion and love. But there exists within us as well the ability to do harmful things out of anger, out of impatience, out of an ego situation, greed, selfishness, and so on and so forth. So even though we may have a few weeds in our lives, God, the divine farmer, isn't ready to give up on the crop. We can become so focused and so guilt-ridden about our own weeds and also judge the weeds of evil and abuses that surround us or threaten us that we fail to realize and celebrate the healing and the life-giving presence of God in our very midst. We can become so intent in judging and in punishing sinners that our own lives become mired in gloom and despair. The task of judging sinners belongs to God. To us belongs the work of compassion and reconciliation. By means of the twin parables of the mustard seed and the yeast, Jesus taught that even seemingly insignificant beginnings, a small seed, a little yeast, even a group of 12 followers can produce great and wondrous results. All of us are called to be mustard seeds and yeast, especially as we leave the church here this evening, by taking mercy and patience and the love of Christ that we carry with us out into our homes and into our community. My dad loved the corn, And he wanted it to be happy and joyful with plenty of nutrients and water, giving it the opportunity to grow and to be productive. God loves us and wants us to be joyful and hopeful in the promise of the risen Christ and to be given the time and the opportunity to grow and to be productive in contributing to the reign of God right here on this earth.